This is the story about...
I want to do it too.
Okay.
One, two.
This is Precious Lives.
Stories about kids.
Teens.
Guns.
Guns.
And how we end the violence.
Bye-bye.
Because
we are precious.
Because we are precious.
I'm Eric Vaughn. This is Precious Lives. Sierra Guyton's death shocked Milwaukee this past May. The 10-year-old was shot and killed on the playground at Clark Street School. While Sierra was the last kid killed in a playground shooting, Marcus DeBack was the first. Precious Lives producer Emily Foreman sat down with Marcus's mom almost 20 years later. Lisa Etienne is a pediatric nurse at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin in Wauwatosa.
At work, there isn't much that makes Lisa flinch, as long as she completely avoids the intensive care unit. Recently, she was called down there because they needed extra hands.
They said, well, at least we need help. Can you come and help us? But they didn't warn me.
And when she got to the door, she froze.
But I forced myself to go into the room, and then there was this little one. It was on all kind of machines. And then at the end of the shift, the charge nurse came and said, Lisa, thanks for helping me. You did really well. I did it again, huh? She's like, yeah, you kind of like stuttered at the door and you looked like a deer in headlights.
Almost two decades ago, Lisa's son Marcus looked just like that little kid. Immobile, hooked up to lines and machines. He was a patient on this exact floor at the hospital where she now works. When I walked into Lisa's house, right away, I noticed the photos covering the walls. They are all of Marcus, between the ages of 4 and 9.
7-year-old picture. One of his school pictures, oh my God, they didn't even comb his hair. They just put a clothes on him, and they let him take pictures.
Before Lisa was a nurse, she was a microbiologist and a single mom to a precocious 9-year-old boy.
Yeah, he's always thought he was just the man of the house. He got to learn how to cook. He got to learn how to clean. By the time he was 6, he was pressing his own clothes, washing his own clothes. One day we was going somewhere. I said, come on, let's go. He's like, give me them jeans. You're not wearing them with me. I'm going to iron them for you.
The last photo of Marcus was taken in 1995.
I was actually watching TV in the living room, and my niece was... She answered the phone because somebody was calling. And all I heard her say, quit playing. He just left.
Marcus had just left to play basketball at the playground down the street.
I looked at her like, what are you talking about? And she said, they just said Marcus just got shot. And I just jumped up and started getting ready, grabbed my car keys and ran down the stairs. And as I was running down the stairs, the two brothers who had taken him and the driver had come back. And as I'm coming down the steps to go get in my car, he was like, get in. I said, where is my baby? Where is my baby? He just said, he's laying in the grass and burst into tears. So then they took me to the playground, and there I see him, the paramedics and them working on him right there on the side of the grass.
A group of older teens and men got into an argument while playing basketball. One of them went and got a gun from his car, came back and started firing. 20-year-old Alonzo McDade struck Marcus in the leg and the back of the head from 150 feet away.
And I still don't know how I got to the hospital. Then I remember being in the ICU, people coming in and out, nobody saying much of anything, except that he's brain dead, and if he survived this, he wouldn't have any quality of life. And are you going to donate his organs? Will you donate his organs? Are you going to donate his organs? They're not telling us anything. They're not even asking us if we have any questions. They're just asking and worried about his organs, as if he is just a piece of animal that you need this piece of meat and this piece of that and this to that. It was always me and Marcus, me and Marcus, me and Marcus. Now it's just me, and it's just like something, somebody took, take your heart out and just drop it on the ground, just dump on it. And I was just like, I can't. I don't know how. I don't know how to. He was like my side, my other piece. I don't know how to function without it. I was just so just gone. I just driving. Just it. I can't do this anymore. Purposely ran the red light. I don't know how to live without him. Then I was like, okay. Nobody hit me. I'm supposed to be alive. I pushed a lot of people away. And I had this defense up so long that I just never wanted to let people in because I was like, I can't get so close again. I can't get so close again because I can't let something take something else that I'm so close to away again, because then I might really snap. I don't know where I would be. So I just kept up this defense for forever.
Lisa's still guarded in her personal life, but as a nurse, she cares for people every day. Patients tell her all the time how she's their favorite.
You're in the hospital, I'm gonna fix you. Or at least get you better enough to go back home. Because I couldn't fix him. Kind of. Mm-hmm. Yep, I couldn't fix him, but hey, this is a troubled person. I'm gonna talk to this one. I could fix this one. I can fix one at a time, and just couldn't fix the one I really wish I could have.
Children's Hospital provides hospital-based services for adult victims of violence. Project Ujima is one such service. They work with participants through the grieving process and provide support to family members on their road to recovery. You can find a link on our website, preciouslivesproject.org.
Precious Lives is produced by 371 Productions in association with WUWM, WNOV, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. We're supported by the Greater Milwaukee Foundation and the Isabel and Alfred Bader Fund. Music by Kiran V of Fresh Cut Collective.